While you do that, I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you so much again for your word. We know that it's the rock upon which we stand. And I thank you, Lord, that it's never changed. I thank you, Lord, that your church has never gone astray, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, mold us and shape us into the image of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay. Being that it's the new year this next week here, I wanted to talk a little bit about some things that we can think about in going into the new year. But James 1:1 reads, James 1, and then we're going to go through a few verses, but it says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I hate this passage. Can I just tell you that? This is so hard. It says, as children of God, we're to count every trial as joy. Easier said than done, right? Why? Why does it say that? It says because these seasons of testing produce what? Perseverance. Okay? When we persevere, we know that our faith is growing. We know that perseverance is maturing us. And all of this, according to the passage, makes us complete, it says, not lacking in anything. And to keep us from lacking, James goes on and he says, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Think about that. Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Verse 6, but when he asks, when we ask, we must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. So I want to talk a little bit about this issue of asking God. We're going to ask God for a new mic. Here we are, you know, we're finishing up the year, and as I thought about this, how many of us over this last year found ourselves asking God for wisdom? Right? I mean, I think most of us, right? How many of us believed when we asked God that he was going to answer us? I mean, really believed that. And let me ask you, we'll take it one step further. Did you receive an answer every time you asked God for wisdom? Some yes, some no, some not sure. You know, if not, let me ask why. What happened? Did we stop believing? Did we stop asking? Did we stop listening? Were we asking maybe with the wrong motives? We need to be really careful when we're asking God for wisdom. And the word tells us in James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. We need to check our motives constantly of why are we asking God, and really, what am I asking for and why? What are my motives behind this? Scripture tells us to ask him. Come to him like a father, and really our prayer should be, Lord, teach me, mold me, shape me into the image of Jesus. Bless me with your presence. Bless me, Lord, with your will, with your desires. Lord, I want what you want. Jesus himself says in John 14, turn your Bibles there. I want you to read this with me. John 14. We haven't gotten to this passage yet in going through the book of John, but we will. John 14, beginning in verse 12, we're going to spend a little bit of time in this verse today. And it says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Who's speaking? Jesus, right? Anyone who has faith in me, he says, will do what I've been doing. That's hardcore. I mean, if you think about this for a second, if we have faith in Christ, we will do what he did. That's pretty profound. Not only will we do what Jesus did, but he says that we will do what? Even greater things. Okay, wait a second. This really blows my mind. Is the word really saying that we will do the same things that Jesus did? Or do we need to interpret this differently? You're all quiet. This is a trick question. No. The word says it, right? It says we will do the same things that Jesus did. So when I read this passage, I said, okay, if this is really true, God, then I want to know, what did Jesus do? I gave you an insert in the bulletin. You guys all have a copy of that? I want you to pull it out and follow through with me. If you don't have one, Samuel will quickly throw you a copy. Who needs one? Anybody? Pass them out. I made these so you guys could keep these. You could pull out these inserts, and you could refer back to these, okay? If this is really true, I want to know, what did Jesus do? And we'll start with first, he dealt with illness. I gave you I'm just going to scan through these really quick, but I gave you all of the passages if you want to read these. He dealt with a man with leprosy. He healed an army officer's servant. Peter's mother-in-law and many others. A paralyzed man. He healed a woman who touched him. Two blind men. A man with a withered hand, a man born blind, a deaf and mute man, a blind man, a crippled woman, a man with dropsy. Do you guys know what dropsy is? It's like an edema. It's when you have water collected in your skin or in your tissues or in your body cavities and you swell up really bad. He healed a man with dropsy. 10 lepers, Malchus, the official's son, the paralyzed man at the pool, a man born blind. I mean, this isn't even all of it. But he dealt with illness. He healed the sick. Next, he dealt with nature. He calmed the storm. He fed a crowd of 5,000 people. Walked on the lake and stilled the storm. He fed another 4,000 people. He pulled a coin from a fish's mouth. He cursed a fig tree. He caused the fishermen to catch a net full of fish. He turned water into wine. And he also had another time where the fishermen caught a great bunch of fish. And then he dealt with evil spirits. The man in the graveyard, the dumb man, they said, the man that was blind and dumb, a foreign woman's daughter, the blind mute son, the man in the synagogue at Capernaum, they were all possessed by demons and he cast them out. And then the last thing that I thought was significant is he dealt with death. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Jesus himself rose from the dead. We have the story of the canceled funeral and Lazarus, when he dealt with Lazarus. But this isn't all. And I put the passage on the insert as well. It says in John 20, verse 30, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may what? Why were we given all of these signs, all of these miraculous things? It says, these were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So, I don't know about you, but I would love to do all of these things. So we're just going to have a healing service right now. I'm totally kidding. I would love to be able to heal the sick. I think that would be amazing. I would love to raise somebody from the dead. That would be phenomenal. How about command the elements in nature and watch them obey? Casting out demons. I mean, these things are amazing. This would be awesome to be able to be privy to some of these miracles. And I got to tell you, in my own life, I have seen a few of these things happen, and it's been unreal. It's just so empowering in your faith. It's so amazing to pray for somebody and then God heal them. It just strengthens you. It just fills you, and it's just incredible. But did Jesus just do the supernatural? I mean, what was that all about? Was it just to get the people's attention? Was it like shock value, entertainment, or hype? No, absolutely not. I think more importantly, what else, you know, we should look at what else did Jesus do? These things are pretty amazing. But I think more importantly, some of the things that Jesus did were he loved unconditionally. He forgave without strings attached. He didn't stereotype or judge people based on their outward appearance. He didn't show favoritism. He served and washed his disciples' feet. Talk about humbling. You have the King of Kings washing a bunch of, you know, men's feet. It's. Have you ever had your feet washed by somebody? Anybody ever been through that process? It's not only humbling for the person who has to do that, but it's humbling for you to sit and let somebody do that. Ooh, don't touch my feet, you know, or oh, I'm not touching your feet. I mean, a lot of us aren't feet people, right? But I remember when I was pastoring that I don't know if you were there, we had when I first took over as pastor, I really felt like God wanted to do this service, and so I didn't tell anybody about it, and I put four chairs up on the stage, and I put buckets underneath them, and then I called the elders up, and I asked them to sit, and so for our service, I washed their feet as kind of this. I just really felt like that's what God wanted me to do at that point in this transition, and they were so mad at me. But it was a humbling experience because they had to let me do that. You know, they had to do it because they were elders and they needed to lead and they needed to be willing to have their feet washed. But we when we think of that process, we think of the act of doing it and serving and loving somebody and washing their feet. But I think it's harder to receive that than it is to actually do that. But so we need to look at Jesus, and he served and he washed his disciples' feet. How about he surrendered his will to the Father, setting aside his power to accomplish the Father's plan? That's pretty amazing. And then the most amazing thing, I think, is that he laid his life down for us. So we see Jesus that does all these miracles and all these phenomenal things, but then we see something that's more powerful, more personal. He loves, he forgives. He doesn't judge people. He served and washed people's feet. He surrendered his own will and then ultimately his own life. And these are just to name a few. I think maybe I'd rather move mountains than deal with those things. But the ideal of serving isn't quite as appealing as praying for somebody and they're healed, you know, or raising somebody from the dead. That would be pretty significant. But the verse says, we will do all these things and even more. And it wasn't just for the disciples. It's for you and I. I mean, how much more will you and I do? And this really fits in with what you were saying about sharing the gospel. You know, we don't feel like we can, oh, I can't do these things. I'm not living the perfect Christian life. I'm not the perfect example. Or I don't know, you know, as much, so I'm just going to kind of sit back and not do so much until I become better. And that is so wrong. I think that's used by the enemy to stop the church from growing, to stop us from growing. So the verse says that we will do all these things and even more. And again, I think it's the latter half of these things that Jesus did that we're going to focus on this morning. Who is it? Who do you and I need to forgive? Every single one of us probably has somebody that we need to forgive. Somebody that we're holding anger or bitterness or holding resentment towards. Who is it that we need to show more love to and without expecting anything in return? That's really hard. why, you know, who do we need to love without expecting something back? Is it easy to love somebody when they're just a jerk to you, when they're mean to you or nasty to you? It's not. It's not easy. But Jesus loved us. Jesus loves us, even though we don't reciprocate that. Even though we're adulterous children that are sinners and stray and constantly, you know, disobeying God, He still loves us unconditionally. Who has God placed before us to serve or to lay our lives down for? You know, who are we praying for? Who should we be praying for? You know, interceding. You know, we have this example to follow. Jesus, He never stopped ministering, never stopped loving. And what I love is that He never stops interceding for the people, you know, back then or today, here, you and I. I mean, Jesus is always interceding for us. Romans 8:34 says, Christ Jesus, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Isn't that amazing to think about? That Jesus is interceding for you, for me. He's at the right hand of God interceding. I mean, I think it's great if you know, we take prayer requests and we pray for each other, and I think that's really cool, you know, but think about Jesus Himself interceding. Jesus is, you know, praying for Jesse and CB. Jesus is, you know, praying for, you know, all the requests that we have. Jesus is interceding. That blows my mind. He loves us that much. He makes it easy to have faith in Him. He really does. And again, in this passage, in John 14, it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. So we can and we will do these things that Jesus did and even more. Do we believe? Do you believe that? That's the question. Jesus finishes the verse, and I love this. He says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Jesus, smite that person in Jesus' name. No. You know, Jesus, I need that Ferrari in my driveway when I come back home from church. In your name. Is he going to? I wish he would answer that. No, I don't think so. He says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Whatever you ask. Why? Well, where's the catch? What's the catch? It says, I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Oh. Well, Jesus, I think it would be really cool to give people rides in my Ferrari and I would witness to you while I'm doing it. It would bring you glory. It would be awesome. Right? No. No. So that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. That is a powerful statement from Jesus. Ask anything in my name so that I bring glory to the Father. Do you see the catch? Do you see there? I will do whatever you ask in my name as long as it brings glory to the Father. John 15, 7 and 8 really applies to this. It says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, so that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. What's the emphasis of this? What are we seeing here? We're told we can ask whatever we want in Jesus' name, if it brings glory to the Father. Our desires need to become the desires of Jesus. When I pray according to the will of God, we'll see answered prayers. We'll see things happen. When the Word of Christ dwells within us, we can ask what we will and it'll be done. That's pretty powerful. Discipleship, it's growing. It's kind of a dynamic thing. It's constantly changing. And the more fruit we bear, now what does that talk about when it says fruit? Do you know? Do we know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Do you remember? When we produce fruit as Christians, what are we doing? Yeah, when we're doing, we're sharing our faith, we're reaching out, we're discipling people. What are some other things that are showing or bearing fruit? How about forgiving people? Is that bearing fruit? Letting go of somebody who sinned against me? Doesn't Scripture tell us that love covers a multitude of sin? So if I just decide, somebody just sinned against me, and I just decide to love them and forgive them and let it go and not make a big deal out of it, is that showing fruit? Is that bearing fruit? Yeah. Is being kind, patient, loving, generous? I mean, there's so many things that we do as Christians that bear fruit. And it says, this is to my Father's glory, that you may bear fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. By bearing fruit, we are showing the world. We are showing that we are disciples of Christ. The more fruit we bear, the more truly we're fulfilling the pattern of being disciples of Christ. Those who learn of Christ in order to be like Him. We learn about Him because we want to be like Him. I think it's all about just having a closer relationship with Jesus. I mean, isn't that what it's really all about? Is to just draw closer to Christ, to be more like Christ. This morning, how close are you to Christ? As close as you want to be? As close as He may want you to be? You know, over the past year, we've asked Him for wisdom. We've asked Him for guidance and for direction. Did He answer us? Some yes, some no. Well, we need to think about that. Are we abiding in Him? Doing the things He did? Are we doing those things? If we do them, if we do the things that Jesus did, we'll know what the Lord's will is for our life. We'll know. In every situation, He'll answer our prayers and actively work within our lives. But we have to do it. And when I was thinking about this issue, well, how do we really do this? How do I do what Jesus did? I'm afraid to go up to somebody in the grocery store and pray for a healing for them. Because what if He doesn't heal them? I'm going to look really stupid. Or I'm just going to look really stupid. Hey, can I pray for you? Have you ever done that? Have you ever just walked up to a complete stranger and said, can I pray for you? It is amazing. I am telling you. I remember one day I was late. I was in Sugar House. I was running back to work, and I decided to stop at McDonald's, right? I'm grabbing lunch. And I remember getting my lunch, and when I walked into the restaurant, there was this older lady who was just sitting off to the side, and she had her head down, and I could just tell something was wrong with her. There was something just bothering her. And I remember as I'm standing in line and I'm waiting and I'm ordering, this battle's going on where the Holy Spirit's saying, I want you to pray for her. And I'm like, I'm not praying for her. I'm in McDonald's. I should be praying over what I'm about to eat. You know, you want me to pray for her? And so I kept battling and battling and battling, and I get my food and I'm starting to walk and I'm just like, oh, all right. And so I walked up to the woman and I just said, excuse me, and she looked up at me, and I said, are you okay? And she kind of looked at me like, okay, you're a freak, get away from me. And I said, I just feel like Jesus wants me to pray for you. I just feel like you need to be encouraged. And I just want you to know that He loves you, and He hears what's going on in your life, and He knows that, you know, where you're at, and He wants you to know everything's going to be okay. Can I pray for you? And she burst out in tears. And she said, please. And so I prayed really just a quick prayer and just asked the Lord. And then her countenance was completely different. And she thanked me profusely. And then I walked out and I went back to work. And I felt elated. And I thanked God. I said, thank you, Lord. But, I mean, stepping out of your comfort zone, she needed that. And I didn't sit back and try to analyze, okay, God, what do I say, and what do I do, and how do I pray? And I just said, whatever, you know, she's down. Are you okay? And I just reached out. And because of that, I wish I knew what was going on. I wish I knew how that affected her. But obviously, it was the right thing to do because of her reaction and what happened. That is amazing. to step out of ourselves and to just reach out to somebody else and love them. You know, when I brought the meal to that one family at Thanksgiving, and the woman just cried in the driveway and said, "Thank you. This is so weird. This is so weird. I just thank you." It is so cool to be weird. You know, don't change. Be weird. It's good. But this week, I want to give you a couple things to focus on, okay? Three things that Jesus did that I'm going to ask you to do, okay? The first, we need to lay hands on people and pray for them, okay? And obviously, if it's a stranger, you don't want to lay hands on them. You don't want to touch them, right? Because that might get weird. But you could just say, "Hey, could I pray for you?" But if you know somebody, just put your hand on them and just pray with them. Whether it's at the grocery store or a neighbor or somebody you work with, you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, when you ask Him into your life, He gives you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives you discernment. The Holy Spirit will tell you. How many of you guys have ever just, you know, talked to somebody and you just knew something was not right with them? You just know. You're like, "Are you okay? You know, can I do something for you?" Because you know. The Holy Spirit's just going to put that on your heart. Use that. Pray and believe that He's going to do a work. Believe that He's going to work there. I just believed in McDonald's that God was going to touch her. I didn't know how. And I stopped a long time ago. I stopped questioning. When I get that feeling, I just do it. And then I just leave it's God's job to deal with the results. I'm just doing what He's asking me to do. And I learned that when you can let down your guard and just move that openly, then it's easy. I don't have to worry about whether or not they're going to come to Jesus or whether or not they're going to be healed or this or that. I know that I'm just being obedient to what the Holy Spirit's leading me to do. That's all you have to do. The results are not up to you. They're up to God. You just have to be willing to be that vessel. So I want you to pray for somebody this week. Don't fear. Step out. If you're afraid and you have that battle, how many of you have battled with the Holy Spirit? You know what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit puts something on your heart and you are in your mind going, "No, no, no, I can't do that. I can stand up here for hours and tell you stories of things that have happened like that." I mean, witnessing to a group of kids in a village inn at midnight, you know, and it's the whole restaurant, God tells me, "I want you to stand up and preach." Are you crazy? I'm not standing up in here and doing that. And long story short, I ended up doing it. Two kids came to Jesus, and it was the most incredible. I'll never forget that experience. I'm not telling you God's going to lead you to go witness to a restaurant full of people, but He might. And if He does, He'll provide you what you need. God will never lead us into a situation where He doesn't equip us to do what He's calling us to do. And you never have to worry about it. The Word does tell us, always be prepared to give an answer for the reason you believe. Doesn't mean you have to have a doctrinal discourse on, you know, sanctification and justification and go through this whole thing. You don't have to be a scholar to be able to share, "Why do I believe in Jesus? Why do I trust Jesus?" That's it. Always have an answer. Always be ready to share Christ. So I want you to pray for somebody this week, okay? Lay hands, pray, just reach out and love somebody. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to commit yourself to reading the Word. How can we do the things that Jesus did if we don't know what they are, right? Does the Word of God abide in you? Okay, the passage said, if my words, you know, abide in you, or if you abide in me. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my word abides within you. Does the Word of God abide in you? Does it take up residency in you? Is it there? And I remember sharing with you guys before about reading the Word. Read it and trust that the Holy Spirit is cataloging it. He's saving it. It's all going to be there for when that time comes when you're talking to somebody. He's going to bring verses to mind. He's going to bring those things to light, and you're going to be able to use those. So you're filling up your arsenal and weapons, you know, with the Word for when the Holy Spirit wants to use it. Is the Word important to you? And if so, how much? What are you willing to do for it? how many of us would truly like to be reading the Word every day? I mean, I confess I don't, but I wish I did. I want to do that. So what I wanted to do was challenge you guys, like Ken was talking about this morning, with creating a new habit. And so I printed out those guides, and those are through the Bible in a year. And if you just read those, it mixes Old Testament, New Testament, you know, reading, so that you're kind of doing both. But you can follow those off, and you can just scratch them off every day. You've got something that shows you, what do I read? Where should I start? What should I do? You've got a list right there. And that's just a simple, generic list. You could Google them. You can get Bible apps for your smartphones that have, there's so many different kinds of reading programs you can get. But I'm kind of a guy that has to have the physical thing in front of me, and I like to be able to just, okay, got my list, I got it checked off, and here's what I'm going to read today. But I printed those out. So let's do this as a church. I think it would be great, and see what the Lord does with our little body here, that we're all reading and we're all trying to go through this. And it's really not that hard. We just need to kind of set some time aside and make it a priority. And I am just as guilty, because if I can get up at 4:50 in the morning and come over here and work out, and that's a challenge. But if I can do it, why can't I get up 10 minutes earlier and read the Bible? Or why can't I find some time to do that? That shows the condition of my heart and where I'm at. Would I rather go exercise or sit down and read the Bible? You know, I need to work on that. And so I'm gonna really try and do this. So first, we're going to pray for somebody. Second, we're going to read the Word. Third, I want you and I to step out, just like Ken shared. This is so applicable. I love how the Holy Spirit works, because I've read the same statistics that the average Christian doesn't share their faith in a year to somebody. And so what I want you to do is I want us to step out in faith and share the truth to someone. I want us to try and do that. And don't tell me evangelism isn't your gift. Because if you tell me that, I'm going to say, you're not saved. You don't have the Holy Spirit in you. Because the Holy Spirit does the work. It isn't you that does the work. You just have to be willing to be used. And sharing your faith, again, doesn't mean you have to give them this huge theological discourse. It's just a matter of, why did you come to Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? What has he done in your life? Are you willing to share that? You know, we should. God has placed you right where you are at in your life for the very purpose of sharing, of reaching those people. Jessica will reach people that I won't have access to, or I'll never talk to. April will be around people that I'll never be able to talk to. You know, Sharon, same thing. Every one of us, we have a community that we're in, and we are lights in. And if we're lights, there's a purpose for that. It's to bring light into a dark world. So I want you to pray, and I want you to say, God, who is it that you want me to share with? And what do you want me to share? You know, and is it just loving somebody and then praying for them and then just telling them a little bit about maybe how Jesus got you through that trial or you through an experience that they can relate with? It's a very personal, intimate thing. It doesn't have to be a real scheduled, scripted, you know, evangelistic outreach. Okay, it can just be a very personal and intimate thing. So I want you to pray for somebody. I want you to read the Word, and I want you to try and share your faith this week. And then I think what would be really cool is to come back next week, and during when Ken gets up and he says, okay, anybody got anything to share? Every one of us should be able to say, oh, check it out. Okay, I did this. I just prayed, or I read every single day. Just something. Every one of us should be able to have something to share. Now you know what? Nobody's going to come to church next Sunday. And if you don't, then you know what? We're going to be at your door, right? We'll come to you. We'll lay hands empty. Yeah, serious. So we're going to pray. We're going to read the Word. We're going to share. So will you guys join? I'm going to commit to this too. So will you join me in sharing your faith with somebody this week? A couple of head nods. Show me your hands. Who's going to commit and share your faith with somebody this week? Okay? Cool? Ask somebody, how are you doing with that? How are you doing with your faith? Where are you at with God? You know, this is a perfect time because we just celebrated Christmas. And what did you get out of Christmas this year? That's a great question to ask someone. What did Christmas mean to you? You know, and then you know, most of the time I think you're going to hit this, oh, God, it's over, the rush and the craziness and the hectic, and, you know, and then you can, that just opens the door. So it could be anyone. 1 Peter, again, this verse, 1 Peter 3:15 and 16 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. So you don't want to walk up to somebody and say, you are going to hell if you don't know Jesus. I mean, that might work. I've seen that work in a couple of instances, but it's not the norm, okay? You don't want to be, you know, that brutal. Unless the Holy Spirit, you know, I, again, could tell you a story, and I won't because we're running out of time, but that there is a time when that might be applicable. If you want to know about it, it's a really cool story. Ask me later, I'll tell you. Three things that we can do this week to draw us closer to the Lord. So, if you yourself are struggling, call upon the Lord and let Him be your strength. Ask and it will be given to you. Learn what His will is. Learn what Jesus would do in these situations. And say, Lord, help me to be more like You in this situation. And ask Him and watch Him work. Watch Him answer your prayers. So, I'm excited to come back to church next Sunday to see what is God going to do. And what's He going to do in this coming week. So, if we all commit to doing this, this is great. Because remember, when two or more are gathered in His name, that He is with us. And so, we're all gathered and committed into this venture, so we're going to see what God does. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, again, I thank You so much for Your word that is true. I thank You that, Lord, we can have faith in You, that we can trust You, that You are never going to do something to harm us, to embarrass us, or to humiliate us. But, Lord, everything that You call us to do, You will equip us to do. And it will be for Your glory. It will be so that the Son brings glory to the Father. And I pray that we would all be vessels that would operate in that manner. Lord, take away our fear. We know that we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of boldness, Lord, and of a sound mind. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would just use us this week to reach out, to love others, to make a difference, and in therefore touching our own lives and seeing You work in our lives. Draw us closer to You in Jesus' name.